We'll be looking at Mark 9, verses 2 through 8 today. And it's the story of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. The parallel passage to that is found in Luke 9, verses 28 and 29, I'd like to look at. Now it came to pass about 8 days after saying these things, that he took Peter, John, and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah. The climb to the top of Mount Hermon would have taken the better part of the day. Luke, in his account of this event, tells us that Jesus began to pray when they arrived at the top of the mountain. Apparently, this prayer meeting lasted for a while because the disciples, they had fallen asleep. So the day is probably vanished and night is fallen. The peaceful mountain is covered with a sky that's filled with stars. Suddenly, Jesus Christ changes. His face changes. The appearance of his face was altered. His garments change. He is transfigured. This word comes from the word metamorphosis, which is the same word that's used to describe the changes that a caterpillar goes through when it is transfigured into a beautiful butterfly. In other words, Jesus changed forms on the mountain. On the mountaintop, he changes forms. The glory that was concealed within him is now revealed on that mountain. You see, this was not the first time Jesus had experienced a transfiguration, a metamorphosis. When he was born in Bethlehem, Jesus concealed the glory of his deity behind the veil of his human body. On this occasion, the glory on the inside burst forth to the outside. The glory that was inside Christ burst forth to the outside. The dark mountain was instantly bathed in brighter light than the sun. Anyone looking up at Mount Hermon that night would have seen the mountain lit with the glory of God. This is a special thing. This is a special presentation. These men were given a glimpse of the glory of all God's children. The glory that all of us will be seen in. The glory when we get to heaven. Do you realize what 1 John 3:2 says? Many of you may say know it, but how many of us meditate on it and truly believe it? These men were given a glimpse of the glory that all of us, we will all be metamorphosized. We will all be changed. We will all be transfigured. All of us that are in Christ. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. Look at the way John writes. Beloved, he calls you. Now. Not then, now we are children of God. And it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know. See? But we know. You have to know it. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. What a mind-blowing statement, that we shall be like him. This Christ that we read of in the scripture, this Christ who came to this earth and suffered, died, and was buried, but was resurrected. This one we shall be like him. This one that the glory appeared on the mountaintop, we shall be like him. Back to our text, we see that Moses and Elijah, they appeared on the mountain with Jesus. Mark says that they were talking with him in verse 4. Luke tells us that they were discussing his decease or his death, his departure. Jesus came. They had come to talk with Jesus about his impending death upon the cross. Why Moses and Elijah? And not some of the other great luminaries from the Old Testament. Moses and Elijah are the preeminent representatives of the law and the prophets. The great lawgiver and the great prophet. These men have come to represent the word of God that spoke of the coming of the word of God. Moses was the great lawgiver. Elijah the great prophet. These men have come to encourage the Lamb of God as he draws close to Calvary. Imagine what that conversation sounded like. You talk about the old adage about wanting to be a bug on the wall, be a fly on the wall, and hearing that conversation. These two men also represented the two ways the people of God meet death. Moses died, and he was buried. Elijah was taken up alive into heaven. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 tells us, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. One way of death. But then here's another way. 2 Kings 2:11, it says, then it happened, as they continued on in thought, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. These men represent two ways the people of God meet death. One's dead and buried. One died and was buried, and the other taken up alive into heaven. Like Moses, many have, many will die. Like Elijah, some will be taken up alive into heaven to meet God. The scripture actually says that. Turn to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another, brothers and sisters. You'll die either one way like Moses, or you'll be like Elijah, taken up alive into heaven. Like Moses, many have, many will die. Like Elijah, some will be taken up alive into heaven. But like Moses and Elijah, regardless of how you leave this world, if you know the Lord, you'll be with him in glory. What a truth. What a blessing. You shall be like Christ. We shall go through this metamorphosis. The glory that's inside someday will burst forth. Sometimes we get so caught up in our humanity and we forget about that. We forget that someday we will be as Christ. That true you, that new you, that new creation is living inside of this body of death. And someday that will be revealed. What a truth. What a blessing. And let me say, I'm blessed by the fact that Moses is standing with Jesus on that mountain. You may remember that Moses was forbidden from entering Canaan because of his rebellion to a specific command of God, his breaking of the law. Now here he is, the law breaker, not only the law giver, but the law breaker. And here he is standing on the top of the high mountain, looking out over Canaan. Can you imagine his excitement? Moses had been punished in time, But now he's free in eternity. Peter, James, and John have been asleep. They awake to find the mountain bathed in supernatural light. Jesus, their leader and friend, is no longer the same man he had been. When they walk up to the mountain, Jesus appears to be an ordinary Jew. When they walked up the mountain together, and when they awake, Jesus is shining brighter than the sun. And when they see this, they're terrified. It says in verse 6, look with me in Mark 9, verse 6, because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. They were greatly afraid. Peter didn't know what to say. So once again, like many of us, he just blurts out something. He's got to say something. He recommends that you enter into a building program. See verse 5 of Mark 9. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. There's Peter, getting himself in trouble again, putting himself in a bind again. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. By the way, there's people that who have something to say and people who just have to say something. The first group is worth listening to, and the second group will get you into trouble. There's some people, they always have something to say. Peter may have been suggesting that they just stay on the mountain, enjoy the amazing moment. Maybe Peter's suggesting they use Mount Hermon as the world headquarters for the new Kingdom of God movement that he felt was about to take place. Whatever Peter's motives may have been, one thing is for sure, God the Father does not like what Peter has to say. All of a sudden, Jesus and the other 5 men on that mountain, they're overshadowed by a cloud. And out of that cloud booms the very voice of God Almighty. God declares the supremacy of Jesus Christ over the law and over the prophets. God the Father does not tolerate Peter placing Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. God is saying that Jesus Christ is superior to both men and their message. After all, it was Jesus Christ who gave them the very words that they wrote. It was Jesus that they were writing about when they wrote. And God the Father wanted Peter and the rest of us to know that Jesus Christ is his final word to humanity. We're not to place him on the same level as Moses, as Elijah. People can try to get right with God by keeping the law or by doing religious things, but those things will not work. They will not suffice. Salvation, forgiveness in heaven will only come through Christ. It's by Christ and Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. Not believe on Moses, not believe on Elijah, believe on Christ, on Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Is found in Christ. Salvation is in Christ, not Moses, not Elijah. And Peter's important, wants to put Christ on the same level as them. Many try to do that today. But Hebrews 1 tells us this. Turn with me in Hebrews 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the worlds. Notice worlds, plural. who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When he had by himself purged our sins, not Moses, not Elijah, nor any other person or being or organization, or you yourself, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God, various times, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son. By his Son, Christ. Look at Mark 9, verse 7. Look what it says. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Hear him. The Father commands Peter, James, and John to hear him, and he commands us today to hear him. If you want to go to heaven, then hear Christ. Hear what Christ has to say. Not what Moses has to say, not what Elijah has to say, but what Christ has to say. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Hear him. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Did you ever notice throughout the Gospels it says over and over, "But I say to you." Christ over and over says, "But I say to you." Hear him. Hear him. Stop building tabernacles to Moses and Elijah. Hear him. Hear Christ. God speaks, and immediately the cloud is gone. Moses is gone. Elijah is gone. And the disciples are alone with Jesus Christ once again. Alone with Christ. The glory cloud's gone. The mountaintop experience is gone. Moses is gone. Elijah's gone. And the disciples are alone with Jesus Christ once again. And the question is, are you alone with Christ today? Or are you like Peter? You're distracted. You're distracted by Moses, distracted by Elijah, distracted by the mountaintop experiences. You're distracted. And you're not hearing Christ. Hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked around and they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus. Only Jesus. Is this thing about Jesus with you, or is it about all these other things? And they could be good things, but you turn them into God things. And I'm talking about God gives you a good gift of a wife or a husband. You make that a God thing. He gives you children. You make that a God thing. He gives you a ministry. You make that a God thing. You take all these good things and you turn them into God things. God speaks, immediately the cloud's gone, Moses gone, Elijah gone, the disciples alone with Christ. Peter and the others and many of us have allowed our focus to rest on other things and other people instead of on Jesus Christ alone. And God takes care of that by removing all the things they were looking to. See? That happens to all of us. We get our eyes off of Christ and we get it onto something else. And as I said, I'm not talking about out and out wickedness and wicked sin. Good things. Good gifts that God has given us, but yet the focus becomes of those things as opposed to Christ. It was a good thing that Peter was on the mountaintop. That was a good thing. That was a God thing. But he got his eyes on the Moses and Elijah. But let's build some tabernacles. Let's get some ministry going here. Let's get it. As opposed to his Christ being, you see, his glory, man. There's nothing better than that. I mean, that's why man was created. That we would glorify God and enjoy him in it forever, evermore. That's what Christ is calling us to in the text. Hear him. You want to know what he's calling you to? This is my beloved son. Hear him. Your relationship to him. You're knowing him. You're being conformed into the image of him. We need to beware that we do not allow anything to take our attention off Christ. And as I'm saying to you once again, I'm talking about good things. I mean, sin is not even a question of taking our focus off of Christ. I'm talking about good things here. It was good that Peter, James, and John was there. Anything that takes our eyes off of Christ is dangerous. And anything that does not, anything that we will not get out of our lives, the Father will take it out of our lives because His Son is too precious. And He loves you too much to let those good things that you turned into God things stay in the way. And the Lord just ended the mountaintop experience. This is my beloved Son. Hear Him. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. See? Suddenly. That's the way the Lord usually works, suddenly. When they looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus. And I pray that today, for all of us, it would be only Jesus. This is about Jesus. You've become a Christian because it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Look unto Jesus. But only Jesus was with them.